Welcome to Talk of the Town. I'm Sherry Gibson. I'm joined in studio today by Doug Tepfer. Doug is the EMS Emergency Preparedness Coordinator with FHN. Hey, good to see you, Doug. How are you today?
Good, Sherry. How about yourself?
Doing great. We're going to talk about Emergency Preparedness Month, which that's September. That is going on right now. And tell me a little bit about your position, if you will, as Emergency Preparedness Coordinator with FHN. What exactly do you do in that role?
Well, my primary responsibility is to look at our emergency plans, make sure that our staff and our facilities are prepared in case there would be an emergency that would affect us as a physical structure or that would affect the communities that we serve and how we can best be able to respond to our communities.
And hopefully that never happens.
We hope so.
You never know, right?
Knock on wood. We've been very fortunate around here, but you know, we're all aware of the big storm that's headed towards the East Coast, and we typically think of the East Coast and the West Coast and the Gulf as being those big places, but we're vulnerable to a lot of things around here as well.
So the types of emergencies that you prepare for could be weather-related. What other kinds of things?
They could be weather-related, natural disasters. We are part of the earthquake fault system. So even though we don't set directly on a fault, we'd be impacted if there was an earthquake in southern Illinois or the central part of the state. And then we have also some of the things that people don't want to think about, like domestic terrorism, international terrorism, the active intruders, you know, whether it's somebody with a weapon that's trying to cause harm to a staff member or to a patient at one of our facilities.
And again, as we've said, you never know when something like that. You always think it's not going to happen here, but you never know.
Well, and that's true. And, you know, we can take the head in the sand approach, but that's really not in the best interest of our staff, of our patients, or any of the visitors or our communities. So
sure.
We tend to take the proactive approach.
So you conduct exercises, don't you, in like kind of practice runs?
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't really had to do much exercising as far as severe weather because we have enough of that we've had real life events that we've had the been able to deal with. Probably the last large scale event that we did was a violent intruder exercise at one of our off campus facilities that involved police and EMS, and it was just a good eye opening experience as to, you know, what can happen and what should staff do if a violent intruder comes in the facility.
So touching on that and talking with the police and so forth, you do work with other emergency responders.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If anything were to happen, whether it was internal in our facility or external in the community, we're going to have to work with our community responders or community partners. So a lot of the exercises that we do on a grand scale always involve our community partners. We practice some things internally just so we know what that response is going to be, but we also do at least one exercise a year that involves our community partners.
Now, with September being National Emergency Preparedness Month, obviously that's to bring heightened awareness to people being ready for the unknown. So that could be just on a personal or family level too, right?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that we tell our new staff and when they come in is that they should be prepared at home. If something happens, we want them to be able to help their community by be able to come to work. And the best way for them to be able to do that is to have those preparedness plans at home. For the general public, having information like an evacuation plan in case of a fire, having a go bag, having a supply of food and water, copies of your medical records, copies of important documents in case you'd have to leave your home. There's a myriad of things that you can do that really are very inexpensive to be prepared to respond personally in case of an emergency. And a lot of that information can be found through some of the websites like the American Red Cross, Illinois Ready, and links to those websites are actually on the FHN website.
So something I never thought of is having your current medical information ready, your medications, your list of medications, things like that, maybe to have right in that go bag. Is that what you called it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's important. Even if you don't have enough medication on hand on a regular basis to have those extra medications in there, at least having that list of medications, who your pharmacy is, who your physician is, any allergies it would have, any type of medical, important medical history that might need to go with you if you have to move. And if we look at the hurricane victims that might have to get displaced, they could get displaced hundreds or thousands of miles from their regular residence for a long period of time. So being able to take that information with you is going to make that transition much easier as far as getting care if you need to or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, because everybody's going to be, or many, many people will be in that same boat. And so trying to get it all figured through,
absolutely,
you know, the pharmacy or whatever, if you have that information, I can see where that would make it easier. What about immunizations, like stay current on your tetanus shots and things like that?
Tetanus shots, flu vaccines, pneumonia vaccines, if you fall in that category. I know there's a lot of controversy about what vaccines people should and shouldn't have, and there's personal beliefs, but having those vaccines when they're available and having the opportunity to take that information with you as part of your medical history is important. And FHN is doing something for the second time this year. We did it first last year to try to make those flu vaccines a little bit more accessible, and that's our drive-through flu clinics.
Are those going on now? Or are they coming up soon? Or
they are coming up. We have both are going to take place at our Burchard Hills facility. The first one is Saturday, September 29th, and that's from 8 in the morning until 10:30 a.m. And then the next one is Wednesday afternoon, early evening, October 23rd, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Allows you to basically drive in, stay in your vehicle, fill out some information, drive through, get your flu shot, and you're on your way.
All without getting out of your car?
All without getting out of your car.
Wow. Couldn't get much easier than that,
not
could it?
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, you know, it's not always a good thing, from what I understand, that if there is an emergency, you know, people, if they're okay, haven't been injured or whatever, and they want to help, it's not always the good thing to just run right up and go help, is it? You kind of want to leave it to the professionals?
Yes, you do. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who have really good intentions and they want to help in an emergency. There are times and places for that to take place, but initially, it's important that whoever is responding to that disaster is able to account for people that are there. And when a bunch of people show up unannounced or unasked for to offer assistance, now they become part of the situation. So we have to deal with those responders as well as the professional people as well as the disaster. So we encourage people that if they're interested in helping, contact your local Red Cross, Salvation Army, other organizations that provide disaster assistance, register as a volunteer. And then when a disaster happens, they'll actually reach out to you, and then you can have a measured response or a contained response, which makes it much more
sure.
easier to
a
deal with.
A specific place to go, a specific job, if you will, a specific thing
right.
to do. Okay. Now, you mentioned the website. There is a lot of information about this on the FHN website?
Correct. If you go to FHN.org, our website, which is newly designed, so there's a little... a lot of information on there now, and then go to the About Us tab at the top and then click on Emergency Preparedness. That'll bring up the Emergency Preparedness page. Talks about some of our programs, for example, preparing yourself through first aid or CPR, or we offer a Stop the Bleed course for the community. And then it also has links for a lot of our partners like FEMA, Illinois Department of Emergency Management Agency, American Red Cross, and that to get information.
And of course, you mentioned the Stop the Bleed. There's different classes and things that people can take that just
oh,
helps
absolutely.
Be better prepared.
You know, FHN puts on CPR for adult and pediatrics. We're working on some new courses that hopefully will be coming out soon. And then we do the Stop the Bleed class, which is a really good class to teach the average citizen what to do in case of severe bleeding and stop the bleed. And we offer those classes once a month through the hospital. And it's a great opportunity for people to come together and learn.
And you never know when you could be that first person upon an accident or something, and you're the only one that can respond.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, or whatever the case.
Absolutely. So. And people are very in tune to doing CPR and learning how to do that. But what they don't realize is a severe bleed, you can die from that sooner than you can from not breathing. So it is an important aspect to keep in mind.
Doug, thank you. Some great information today.
Well, thank you for having me, Sherry. I appreciate it.
Doug Tepfer, he is the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator with FHN. Again, more information available at FHN.org. Thanks for listening today. This is Talk of the Town.